I'm opposed to the system of society in which we live today, not because I lack the natural equipment to do for myself, but because I'm not satisfied to make myself comfortable knowing that there are thousands of my fellow men who suffer for the barest necessities of life. We were taught under the old ethic that man's business on this earth was to look after himself. That was the ethic of the jungle, the ethic of the wild beast. Take care of yourself, no matter what may become of your fellow man. Thousands of years ago, the question was asked, am I my brother's keeper? That question has never yet been answered in a way that is satisfactory to civilized society. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. I am under a moral obligation to him that is inspired not by any maudlin sentimentality, but by the higher duty I owe myself. What would you think of me if I were capable of seating myself at a table and gorging myself with food and saw about me the children of my fellow beings starving to death? And this week's opening quote comes from Eugene Debs. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. People live within two realities. Even within this reality in which we live, we find that there are actually two completely separate worlds that are overlaid over each other. One world is the real world in which you are alive, you are living flesh. The other world is the corporate world, the corporate system, the fictional paper-based, commerce-based reality, which has been superimposed over all of our lives. And we actually function within both of these worlds. Although we are fast becoming locked within the fictional commercial world, very much more than we experience the real world, the flesh and blood world. And it's becoming more this way all the time due to the slow and ever-evolving machinations of the corporate system. Now, there's many people that have explained how this system works, how these two realities work, but I'm going to attempt to lay it out here for you today in very, very simple terms. For those people who have been having difficulty getting their heads around it so they can really understand how things are structured and how this society is structured. Now, as many people may know, what we have in the Western world is essentially a system of corporatism. That's what all of our governments are. Everything is corporate. Our governments are corporations. The police force is a corporation. The banks are corporations. It's all corporate. Everything is run as a business, folks. Everything is business. It's actually business that runs the world these days. This is why I don't believe there will ever be a nuclear war, because nuclear war kills all business. And business is what runs the world. But anyway, many years ago, back in 1302, there was a corporate system that was constructed by the Vatican, by a man called Pope Boniface VIII, and he constructed the Unum Sanctum Trust, and this formed the Crown Corporation, which basically began the corporatization of the planet. And understanding that everything functions according to corporate parameters, and that everything runs as a business, is key to understanding how things work in the world today, and it's key to understanding where you fit into the world today, because, believe it or not, you and your family and everything about your life and you yourself are in fact run as a business by the government. You are seen as corporate chattels according to their corporate parameters. There are many people who know this, but for those of you out there who have not been privy to this information, well, this is how it works. It's a corporate system, and you are quite literally chattels within the corporation, which is your country. Now, as I said, there are many people who know this, and there are many, many people who have been attempting to find a remedy to this situation, or at least find a path by which we may navigate ourselves through this system. And many people have had some very, very interesting things to say, and many people who have made some very valuable contributions to the pot of knowledge. But unfortunately, there are also many people who are getting information and they're really not seeing things from the correct perspective, and they're kind of going off half-cocked, and they're getting themselves into quite a bit of difficulty in attempting to navigate their way through the system. And I believe there are certain things that we need to do in order to find safe passage. And let me just explain a little bit to you of how this all works and what's actually going on here. So what happens, folks, is you're born, you're in a hospital, you come into being, and as you come into being, your soul is downloaded into that little vessel, and there you sit, or there you squawk, or there you wriggle, as a newborn infant just come into the world. And when you are born, the doctor, the hospital, the people, the wet nurse, the midwife, whoever happens to be there, wherever you were born, they pick you up and they examine you and they say, yes, this baby is alive. This baby has 2 arms and 2 legs and 10 fingers and 10 toes, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 nose, 1 mouth, 1 head. It's a normal baby. And they write a little document out and they say, yes, this is a normal baby and it was born alive. And that document is called a certificate of live birth. And they file that document into a filing cabinet. It's just a boring little document. It's just a normal, everyday paper document. Nothing fancy. Just a boring little piece of paper saying that this baby was born alive. And that is filed within the hospital, and that's there in the living world. And there you are, a new living member of the human race. But what happens then is a few days later, your parents go and register you with the government. And the government provides you with a new document. And this document is called a birth certificate. And this is a very impressive looking document, folks. This is a document with little fancy letterheads on it and little insignia and nice bits of braiding printed around the edge of the document. It's a very fancy looking document. And it comes with all sorts of fancy titles and all sorts of stuff. And then you get involved in that world, which is the corporate fictional world. And within this world, this isn't just a boring little world where you're just someone who's alive like everybody else. This is a world where you get to wear uniforms, you get to have little insignias, and it comes with plaques and permits and licenses, and you get to have little titles and little fancy documents and little things that make it all so much more fun and so much more appealing. And you get to be able to measure yourself via the parameters that this world provides for you. You can work hard and attain different rungs on the social ladder, and you can get new insignia and new uniforms and little fancy caps and hats and pieces of braid and metal things to hang off you and all sorts of stuff that you can wear, and you can judge yourself by all of these external trappings. And it's a much more attractive world to want to be involved in. But unfortunately, being involved in this world comes with a catch. It comes with hidden costs that people are simply not aware of, hence the word hidden. And the hidden part about it, of course, folks, is that it's a slavery system and that you have just been signed over as a slave. And how does this come about? Well, it comes about because your parents registered you, folks. When they registered you, they locked you into the Attorney Regis Trust. You see, the term registration comes from the term Regis, which also relates to regal, regent, regina, authority, the crown. Therefore, they signed you over as chattels to the Crown Corporation. Of course, they did this quite unbeknownst to themselves. They thought they were simply doing the right thing because it is a government requirement that you are registered. It's just that people don't quite understand what the term registered actually means. And what it means, folks, is that it locks you under the authority of the current regent. And essentially, it locks you into a system of slavery. And that's what it is, folks. It's a system of people farming, a system of debt slavery in which each person within the system is required to pay to be alive and must therefore run on the treadmill in order to do so. And what is the purpose of this, folks? Well, the purpose of it is to harvest your energy. That's what it's all about. It's not about money. It's about harvesting your energy, and it is a slavery system. And really, what is slavery? Folks, well, Slavery is where you are not allowed to follow your own rules. You're not able to live your life the way you would want to, but you have to follow someone else's rules and live your life the way they want you to. Of course, they may give you certain choices, but you always have to fit within the parameters that are given to you, not parameters that you've created yourself. And that's what this system does, folks, and that's why it is a slavery system. Because what this world does, this corporate world, this fictional world, is it actually locks you within a system of rules which are not of your own making, and which effectively serve to curtail the human experience, your human experience, your artistic expression of who you are, and mold it within someone else's idea of what you should be. And of course, what you should be is that which is socially acceptable according to the parameters of the social system. But unfortunately, when one steps back and truly looks at the social system within which we function, what becomes apparent is that when all the fancy trappings and pretty caps and pieces of braid and insignia are stripped away, it is simply a system of people farming, a system of human trafficking via the mechanism of debt slavery. And all of this slavery system has been constructed around the fictional person that was created by the government in the form of the birth certificate. Because the fictional person on the birth certificate is not, according to that document, in any way alive. It's not something that has any rights. It's not something that is living flesh. It's simply a corporate entity that must function according to corporate parameters and adhere to corporate rules. And when you claim that identity on the birth certificate as your own, and you claim that you are that name on your birth certificate, then you agree to be part of the corporate system, and you agree to be subject to the jurisdiction of its corporate rules. But those corporate rules and that corporate jurisdiction only applies to the legal person, the dead entity on the birth certificate. It does not apply to someone who is living flesh. Okay, now, so people hear that type of thing and they suddenly think, oh my God, I'm living flesh, I'm free, and they run off half-cocked and they think they can get away with everything and they can go and take on the system, they can be a free man, and the whole world is going to change. Well, no, it doesn't work that way, folks. It's one thing to know this about yourself, but it's another thing to exercise it within the real world. Because you've got to understand the people that you're dealing with out there in the real world, they all think that the corporate fiction is real. And so they are, in many cases, still adhering to the corporate fiction. And so because there are so many people out there who still believe the fiction is real and who willingly adhere to the parameters of the fiction and will continue to do so, it's very good if people, even if they are aware of whom they are, can operate their lives at this particular time with one foot in the fiction and one foot in reality. Because you can do both, folks. You can operate within the parameters of the fiction and therefore reap the benefits of what the society has to offer, because there are benefits. I mean, you can put a roof over your head by adhering to its rules to a certain degree, so at least you're not sleeping in a storm drain. And you can travel around the world because you've got a passport, so you're adhering to certain rules. So there are things, there are benefits that you can gain by keeping one foot in the fiction. And I think it's very dangerous for people to be simply throwing their identification away because suddenly they're realizing that they are not their name. Because this is going to create all types of problems for them down the track simply because the rest of the world is not in a position where they're going to view what you're doing as being rational or sane. They're not even going to accept what you're doing, and they're going to still be asking you for identification. And so there's no good cutting your nose off to spite your face, folks, because I have seen people doing this. I've seen some people taking things to ridiculous extremes. Well, what I consider to be ridiculous extremes anyway, I think that people are behaving somewhat irrationally. And rather than using their newfound knowledge as a tool with which to navigate through the system and wake other people up along the way, they're simply opting to take things to a ridiculous degree. By way of an example of this, I was recently pointed to a YouTube video of a guy burning his passport at the front of the police station. And to me, this is a very, very silly thing to do, folks, because all you're really achieving by burning your passport outside the front of the police station is saying, well, I never want to travel overseas again. And that's really all you're doing, and that's all you will really achieve by doing such a thing. And you may say, well, look, no, I've got rights, I am not my name, I'm living flesh, and that's all very well. But you go to an airline company, and the person behind the counter at the desk will say, well, that's all very well, I can see that you're not your name, I can see that you're living flesh, but unfortunately I work for a company which requires that I get identification from you in order to issue you with a ticket. So I don't really care, I'm happy that you're alive, but I'm in a position where I don't have a choice regardless of what rights you may or may not have. So if you want me to issue a ticket for you without you showing me ID, then just go off and see the government and get a waiver from them and bring it back to me so that I can show it to my boss and I'm happy to issue you with a ticket, because that's the company policy and it's a private company and, hey, I just work for the company. So you see, people are not in a position where they can say yes or no, regardless of what your rights may be, because these people work for private companies and these private companies have policies. That's just the way it is. And even if you did go and get a waiver from the government and bring it back and say, well, here it is, I've got a waiver, they'll say, well, how do I know you're the person that this waiver applies to? Because there is no photograph on this waiver and there's no name. This could apply to anybody in this room. So how do I know it's you? How do I know you didn't steal this from somebody? So you see, there is a reason for people to have identification for certain things. If you want to go and rent a house, folks, try and go renting a house without some identification. You can scream you've got rights all you like, but if the rental office isn't going to rent you a house because they don't know who you are, then they're simply not going to rent you a house because they don't know who you are. And that's just the way it is, regardless of what rights you think you may have. See, this is why I still have a license. This is why I have a passport. This is why I still have identification. I mean, if I'm in a position where I have to deal with authority, I can say, well, yeah, I'm not my name. I can deal with things in that way. I won't ever adhere to their corporate rules if I'm in a position where adhering to those corporate rules will cause me harm. But if by using identification and using parts of the corporate system that are in place, I can gain some benefit to myself or some benefit for others or make my life somewhat easier, then I'm quite prepared to do so. And this isn't copping out. This isn't not walking your talk. This isn't kowtowing to the system. This is simply using common sense and doing what I may to be able to navigate my way through it with a minimal amount of fuss, because that's the only way I'm able to keep doing what I do and to keep helping awaken others to the fact that this whole fictional corporate system exists. So I think people need to think very, very carefully before completely throwing their identification away and simply saying, I'm not my name, I don't need any ID. Because they're going to find that if they live within Western society, that yes, they do need some identification. And it's perfectly reasonable for people to want to see identification from people. Like I said, folks, you can go and get an airline ticket and order it over the phone and say, yeah, I'm John Smith, I've ordered an airline ticket, I'm here to pick it up. And they'll say, well, show me that you're the John Smith that ordered the airline ticket. And if you can't, why should they give you the ticket? So I can see that it does have its place. It's just that when the ID is used to enslave you to a corporate system because you're tricked into claiming that you actually are the name and the legal connotations that go along with making that claim, that is the issue. The issue isn't the fact that you're required to have identification. The issue is the fact of how you are tricked into granting jurisdiction to a corporate system by claiming you are a name. Not that you have a name, not that you use a name, but that you are a name. That's the difference, you see, folks. So I think it's very important that people look at things from the correct perspective when looking at this whole issue. And I'm saying this in response to some of the things I've seen happening since the release of Kate of Gaia's Babylon Has Fallen document. I'm seeing people take this to the extreme and just think that if they suddenly burn all their ID, that they're going to be free and the world is going to change. And burning all your ID is a very, very foolish thing to do, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. Simply because you need to keep one foot in and one foot out, otherwise you're just limiting your options. And at this stage of the game, I really think that's not the best approach to have. Because we need to use all the options that we have open to us at this stage, folks. The whole thing really is the issue of the name. The whole thing is the issue of the two names, the two entities, the entity described on the certificate of live birth and the entity described on the birth certificate. Again, the certificate of live birth refers to the flesh and blood, the living being with a soul that exists in the real world, and the birth certificate refers to the corporate entity that was created on top of that living soul and to which the living soul has been taught and trained and essentially tricked into identifying themselves as. That's the issue. The issue isn't that you have a name. The issue is that you claim you are the name. But you cannot be a name, ladies and gentlemen. A name is one of two things. A name is ink spots on a piece of paper, or it is a vocalization. It is a series of phonetics. It is an oral sound, something that is spoken. It's a frequency that exists on the airwaves. It's a noise. It's a sound. It can't be you because you are living flesh. That's the difference, you see. A name doesn't have any solid structure. You have solid structure. A name doesn't have solid structure. The only solid structure it has is if it's written down as ink spots on a piece of paper. But you can't be either of those things. You are living flesh. The name that you believe you are is simply a calling that you use. People can make that sound and you are likely to respond to that sound. But you are not that sound. That's the thing, folks. The thing is that we claim we are the name, and because we believe this corporate system is real and we've locked ourselves within it by claiming we are the name, we are now subject to all of its corporate rules. That's the thing. The problem isn't that you have identification. I think identification is quite okay. I can't see anything wrong with having identification. It keeps people honest. It keeps people knowing who they're dealing with, which, as I said, in the case of buying things like airline tickets, can be somewhat useful. And that is not the issue. The issue is not that we have identification. The issue is that we have been tricked into believing that we each are our name when we are not. So, yeah, sorry to repeat myself so much through that little bit, but I really did want to try to get that point home to people. The name is the linchpin. The fact that people believe they are their names, this is the linchpin that they use to get you. When you have someone from authority ask you for your name and you give it to them, they can suddenly identify you. You know, they look at the crowd and they just see it as a whole bunch of corporate chattels, a whole bunch of warehouse stock, a whole bunch of boxes of cereal, but they don't know which box of cereal they're dealing with until the cereal identifies itself. Hi, yes, I'm Rice Bubbles. This is Cornflakes over here, and that's Weet-Bix next to him. So then the officer can look at you and go, okay, well, I can look at Rice Bubbles, I can look at Cornflakes, I can look at Weet-Bix, I can look them all up, and I can see everything about these boxes of cereal, so now I know how to categorize them. And that's the way it works, folks. And the name is the linchpin that they use for the system of control. But the systems of control are everywhere. They're all around you all the time in everything that you do. With all of the wireless technology and all the new things they're bringing in, all the new government categorizations of things, all the surveillance cameras, everything they're doing. One thing you've got to understand about government, folks, is that government is not your friend. Nothing the government does is done for the benefit of the people. Every single thing the government does is done for the benefit of government, and it is done as a means of exercising further control over the people. That's all the government is there for. The government is there to appease the people while a slavery system is built around them. And it is a slavery system which will consist of not only name fraud and name slavery and debt slavery, but also electronic slavery, mental slavery, thought crime, every single thing they can think of to curtail the human experience and make every action that you perform, every emotion you feel, and every aspect of your lives taxable, commercially viable, and controllable. And that is what every single action government performs is aimed at achieving. It's all about exploitation, it's about control, exploiting the resources of the planet and controlling the people as much as possible. See, that's what they harvest from you folks, is your energy, more than anything. People think that the government and these rich banksters do what they do because they want money. No, it's not money, folks. They don't care about money. Money is fiction. Money is simply the glue that holds the corporate mechanism together. What they care about is harvesting your energy, harvesting your soul, harvesting you. That's what they care about. And it is this process of control that every aspect of this system is aimed at further refining. Government exists merely to put a nice face on it. Government exists to make you think that it's all being done for your benefit, when the reality is that nothing whatsoever that the government does is ever, ever done for the well-being or the best interests of the people. They just like to put a nice face on things. I think it's wonderful the way they do. It's actually quite comical the way they do. We saw a big event on the Gold Coast recently. There was a big free blues event on the Gold Coast, and there were government signs all over it. They really wanted the people to know that the government was doing this for the people, and they were doing it for free, and that, yes, we have a designated enjoyment area where you can come and enjoy yourself. Of course, don't enjoy yourself anywhere outside the designated enjoyment zone, but you can come and enjoy yourself here, and we want you to pay special attention to the fact that we, the government, we love you so much that we put this event on for you, and we did it for free. Incredible, folks. It's absolutely incredible. The amount of self-promotion at the event was absolutely phenomenal. It actually made the whole thing look very ugly. And in fact, it was almost impossible to enjoy yourself in the atmosphere that it created because it was so corporate and it was so government-sponsored and so emblazoned with government propaganda everywhere that it detracted from the entire thing. But that's the way they do it, folks. They really want you to know that they are your friend, when the reality is that nothing could be further from the truth. It's really all about control, and it's all about even controlling what enjoyment you have, because if you want to enjoy yourself, you will need to come and do it at one of our government-sponsored designated enjoyment zones. That's the way things are heading, folks. Like I said, the government simply is not your friend, and nothing they do is being done for the benefit of the people. Even if it looks that way on the surface, you can be guaranteed that underneath the surface there is something far more insidious going on. So yes, we have a system of corporatism that has been superimposed over our reality, folks. Now, as I said, there are many people who know this. There are many people who may find the information new. They might find it somewhat startling to realize how this all works. But that's how it works, folks. There are quite literally two realities, one superimposed over the other, and we actually walk in both of them. The question is, how do we extricate ourselves from this corporate system? And this is what we've been attempting to do for so many years now, folks. As I've said so many times, one of the most important things you can do is to question authority at every single occasion that you come across authority. Anyone who claims to have authority over you, you need to question why they believe they have authority over you. You can combat this system, folks, but you've got to do it in the right way. That's why I think it's very dangerous for people just to be out there burning their IDs and thinking they can simply turn their back on it. I mean, great, we could turn our back on the system, and it would be great if everybody did turn their back on the system, but we'd have to do it all together. And meanwhile, until that happens, we need to find a way to navigate through the system and wake people up around us on the way through. And that's what we need to do. I mean, I think it's pointless forming political parties and things, but hey, if you want to do that, then go ahead and do it. I mean, infiltrate the system and bring it down from within. We need to do it in every way that we can, from within and from without. We need to figure out every single thing we can do, which is going to create difficulties and throw spanners in the works of this system. We need to throw everything we can upon the gears and levers and stop the machine from running. That's what we need to do. And it's got to be done externally and internally. And when I say externally and internally, I mean from both without the system, from outside the system, and from within the system. I mean, there are people that are operating within the parameters of the system that are quite awake and are working to undermine things from within, and I think that's a good thing. I think we need to approach it from all angles. But of course, we need to do the internal work on ourselves as well. That's the big issue, folks. And it's important that people really see this and see how important this issue is. Because there are many people who have been so brutalized by the system that they really don't believe they have any internal power left at all. And that's what this system does. You see, because there are two realities, there is the real world where you are alive, and there is the corporate world where you are a corporate fiction and have been trained to operate according to corporate parameters. And it's very difficult for people to ever really experience themselves within this corporate world. And because many of them don't even realize that there are two worlds and that the corporate world is in fact fiction, they apply the corporate world to the real world and they judge themselves in the real world according to corporate parameters or according to the parameters of this social system. And so people often judge themselves very poorly. It's very difficult for people to become successful, in inverted commas, within the parameters of the commercial corporate system, because it just goes so far against humanity. You know, basically, you've got to be a sociopath. You've got to be able to put empathy aside and be prepared to climb over and step on people in order to get to the top of the pile, in order to function within the corporate system. And it's very alien to mankind. It's very alien to human nature to be like this. And so many people, after operating within the corporate system for many years, find themselves to be quite despondent and judge themselves poorly and feel that they're not worthy, they're not successful, they're not what they should be, they aren't as good as other people, and they'll never have what it takes, all of these things, because they're judging themselves according to a corporate system which is so alien to human life it beggars belief that people would even be operating within it. And by operating within that system, they're judging themselves by fictitious parameters, which are somebody else's parameters, and they're not looking at themselves as a normal, living, breathing, sentient life form with their own artistic expression of creation. They're not experiencing that artistic expression. They never get to experience the art of themselves because they are too busy trying to fit in to somebody else's art. Because that's what the corporate system is. It is the art of the psychopaths who run the world. That's what they do. They've created this artistic statement of their reality, and they've trained everybody to operate within its parameters. And you can't really operate within the parameters of this corporate system and maintain any real degree of humanity. It just doesn't work. You can't do that. You can't be ripping people off and profiting from everybody on one hand and giving to charities on the other. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't alleviate the pain of the soul. It doesn't create any true expression. And that's what this system does, folks. And just the fact that you're forced to operate within what are essentially sociopathic parameters, it creates a huge schism in the human mind, a huge schism in human consciousness, because people are basically good. People want to help other people. People want to do the right thing. I mean, it feels wonderful when you do something for somebody and you see them smile and you see the joy that it brings. You get an incredibly joyful feeling yourself out of bringing joy to other people. And yet everything about this system is designed to make you profit from other people. It's designed to reduce everything about the human experience to commerce and to reduce all your relationships with people to commerce as well. I mean, very often this is what our relationships are. We surround ourselves by people that we can benefit or gain from very often. I mean, not everybody. I mean, sure, there are a lot of people who are genuine people who have genuine friends, but generally speaking, as a society, as a business-based society and a commercial-based society, we are required to surround ourselves with people which we may be able to benefit from and which may help alleviate the commercial drudgery of our own lives. And of course, we judge everybody by what they have and what they own and what rungs they've attained on the social ladder, and we judge ourselves by these same parameters. And all of it is fiction, folks. All of it is fiction, and all of it is designed to prevent you from ever truly discovering yourself. So that's what I mean when I say the system harvests your energy. It harvests your soul. It harvests you by preventing you from ever being able to be you. You are required to be what the system wants you to be, and you're required to look this way, dress this way, act this way, go to these specific places, these designated entertainment zones and these designated social areas for people of your social class, and all this rubbish that they train us into believing is real, when none of it is actually real, folks. It's all fiction. It's all that fancy world with the feathers and bells and pretty caps and bangles and braids, but none of it is who you are. And that's the world that people are forced to operate within. And if you're a caring person, and you're a person who feels a lot for other people, then you're probably not one who places much value on the braids and bells and feathers and pretty caps and nice documents with fancy lettering on them. What you're probably placing more value on is human expression and the soul and the life of people, the light in their eyes. And of course, if that's the way you feel and that is the focus of your attention, then you will never make it, in inverted commas, as a successful business person within this society. And so people judge themselves poorly. And really, when you look at it, what you find is that people judge themselves poorly because they have real human expression, because they have a real caring and giving heart. And so they are not able to function within this corporate world. And so they deem themselves as not being successful. And so they judge themselves as being of lesser worth than other people, often because they are simply a far more caring human being than the people around them, the people who are successful. And this is a terrible thing, folks, that we judge ourselves poorly because of our humanity. And yet that's what this system has trained us to do. And not only that, but we judge other people poorly. Look at that guy. He's a loser. He never made it. He never did anything with his life. And very often it's because he cared enough to step outside the system, and he cared about people too much to be able to rip them off and profit from them. And so he chose to live his life as someone on the outside of society. And that's what many people do, folks, and we judge these people poorly because they have more human potential than business potential. That's a very sad thing. And sure, it's not always the case, but very often it is the case, folks. We don't really look for human qualities in people, not within this business-based society anyway. I mean, we do to a certain degree. We do in our private lives. We do expect people to display human qualities in the real world, in inverted commas, when they go home and they are playing with their kids or mowing the lawn or interacting with the neighbors. But in the business world, we don't expect people to portray human qualities at all. We expect people to function in what is essentially a dog-eat-dog type of environment. And when people are ruthless in business, we praise them for having good business sense. And yet if people were to apply this attitude to real life, it would be basically the attitude of a psychopath. And you'd never survive in real life if you applied business sense to real life. And yet we're forced to operate within this business-based society. And it's like this because we are chattels ourselves. We've been reduced to chattels through the imposition of the corporate entity created via the birth certificate. We were essentially placed into slavery when that certificate was created, and we have been forced to operate under these business corporate parameters ever since. And that's how our energy is harvested, folks. And that's what this big awakening is that we're seeing on the planet, folks. It isn't an awakening to the fact that we've got criminals running the planet, to the fact that our governments are corrupt and all of this sort of stuff, to the fact that the central banking system is probably the most evil thing that's ever been created. It's not people waking up to these unpleasant realities. It's people waking up to the fact that they're alive, people waking up to the fact that they're worth more than this, that life is worth more than this. It's not about business value. It's not about economics. It's not about commerce. That's not what the human experience is for. The human experience is about growth. It's about expansion. It's about experiencing all aspects of creation and all aspects of possibility, because absolutely anything is possible. The only thing that is impossible is that which is limited by human belief. And people are waking up to this. People are waking up to the fact that their ideas are controlled. Their perspective of reality is controlled. Most of their ideas about what reality is and what is and is not possible are other people's ideas that have been superimposed over their ideas. These are like programs that have been installed into the hard drive, which is your body computer. You go to school, and that's what they do. They install programs in your hard drive. You watch television. They install new software all the time into the hard drive, into the computer. And people don't have their own ideas very often. They have other people's ideas. They have other people's ideas of what the world should be, other people's ideas of how the world should be run. They have other people's ideas of who and what they are and what they are capable of. But really, ladies and gentlemen, we are capable of absolutely anything. We are capable of creating an incredible world here if we would just choose to participate. But this system doesn't allow us to do that. And that's what people are waking up to. You're waking up to the fact that they are being controlled. And they're waking up to the fact that there has to be a better way. And that there is a better way. You know, what's happening, folks, is that people are realizing that they've never truly experienced freedom before. And they're getting the concept of actual freedom in their heads. It's becoming a reality for people. They can see it in their minds now. They're starting to wonder what true freedom tastes like because they are finally getting the concept of what it is. Because it's something that we've never had. It's something that if we gain freedom for the human experience and we gain freedom for humanity, it will be the first time in any known history that we've ever had anything like freedom. And of course, there are many forces at work to curtail that freedom. As I said earlier, there's an incredible control grid that's been put in place. And I talk about this very often on the shows. It really is a phenomenal control grid that's been put in place. But I don't think it's going to work. I really don't. I don't think human consciousness will be held back that easily because we are simply too random. We just invent stuff all the time. We invent new realities by the minute. We really do. We can create anything we want. And whatever these so-called controllers, these powers that believe they be, think they have up their sleeve, I don't think there's going to be any holding human consciousness back, no matter how much they try. Because everything they bring in, every system of control that they bring in, and every right that they remove from the people, simply serves to wake more and more people up. So by making the system as totalitarian as they are bringing about their own demise anyway. And of course, folks, every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. And we've seen more and more people come to the front line, and we've seen more and more people present new ammunition that can be used in navigating your way through the corporate system. This is what the Babylon Fallen document has done as well, has provided people with new ammunition. But again, folks, don't go just destroying all of your ID and thinking you can step outside of the fiction. Not completely, not until everybody does, because I mean, if you think you can do it and get away with things, well, fine. But I really believe that while the fiction's there, we can use it as a tool to help wake people up. Because the people that believe the fiction is real are only going to understand you if you're still standing with one foot in the fiction. That's just what they understand. And so you can't be too extreme in your actions when attempting to wake people up. And it's one thing to say, well, that doesn't matter about them. I'm awake and I'm just going to walk away from them all, because it doesn't work like that. That's the way the world is run. These are the people who run it. And you can't turn your back on it completely, because if you do, they'll simply destroy the world around you and then you won't have anywhere to go anyway. So you need to find a way of getting to the people who work within the mechanism somehow. And I'm not saying that you enter into the system and play by its rules, but you've got to walk the line, I believe, with one foot in and one foot out. Well, that's what works for me anyway. That's what I use. And I've had an amazing amount of success by using this approach. And I don't know anybody who's actually living completely outside of the fiction. I don't know anybody who doesn't use money. I don't know anybody who is completely outside of the fiction, who isn't at least dependent upon someone else who is in the fiction. So, you know, even people who claim that they are outside of the fiction in this country are usually dependent upon someone nearby who is actually working in the fiction in order to support them. So you've got to look at things a bit more carefully, folks, in your approach to this situation. But I think we are at a turning point. We are finding more and more information coming to the fray. We are getting more and more information and ammunition that can be used in the battle for human consciousness that is currently being waged. And that's a very good thing. I mean, even people waking up to the way the name is being used. And it's good. It's great to see this because we've been talking about this for so long. But it's been so difficult to attempt to explain it to people in a concise enough manner. So it's good that the process is being more and more refined. And people are getting a grasp on it and getting a grasp on how the corporate system works. And the beauty of it is that when people become aware of the corporate system, they do see that they are worth more, and they do see how damaging it is to human expression, how damaging it is to life itself. It really is. This corporate system has nothing to do with life. It's not about life at all. It's about the corporate model. It's about balancing the books. And that's the problem with our governments as well. That's why I've been so down on the governments lately, folks. I really have. The government here in Australia has been annoying the living daylights out of me. And so I've been having a bit of a dig at them lately simply because I think they deserve it. But then I think all governments deserve it. And as much as I'm down on the Australian government, it's also important to remember that they're puppeteered by the same people that puppeteer the United States government and the Canadian government and the British government and most of the governments around the world, or at least every government around the world that has a central bank. And that's, of course, what the war on terror is about. That's another part of the corporate system as well, folks, for those who don't really realize how that works. The central banking system is quite literally the glue that holds the corporate model together. The corporate banking system, the central banking system, is what's used to enslave countries to debt. And they're very, very clever the way they do it. When you see the IMF delivering an aid package to a country, or the United States delivering an aid package to a country, what they are doing is they are putting that country in a state of unfathomable debt. That's what these aid packages are. They don't give anything away for free, folks. They lend these aid packages. The only country really that I would say they actually give stuff to for free would be Israel, of course, because Israel is basically the private weapons lab run by the Rothschild family anyway, and that's who runs the banking system. So basically it's just the banking system giving money to the people who run the banking system. And that's about the only time they're ever prepared to actually give anything, folks. They usually give it to themselves very amply, but they're not really prepared to give it to anybody else. They just deliver aid packages to these countries and put them in a position of unfathomable debt, whereby organizations such as the World Trade Organization are then able to go in and open the country up for corporate exploitation and steal all of their resources. That's how they do it, folks, and that process is called an aid package. You know, what people should be doing when they look at these situations is not thinking, oh, isn't it great that we're giving this country an aid package? What they need to do is ask the question as to why the country should need aid to begin with. And you'll find that the reason the country needs aid is usually because of Western corporate exploitation that has happened either to that country or nearby, or some war that's been cooked up by Western corporate interests, because virtually all wars are bankers' wars, folks. They're all fought for commercial reasons. They're not fought for any of the reasons people believe. Most of these wars are simply hostile corporate takeovers, and when I say hostile, well, yes, they're very hostile. People do die in these corporate takeovers, but that's essentially what they are. So rather than giving these country aid packages and thinking that it's great that we are giving them aid packages, we need to ask the question as to what has caused the problem to begin with. because what's happening is that the Western interests go in there, they create the problems, and then they deliver the aid package, which puts the country in unfathomable debt, and the resources of the nation are able to be controlled. The government is, of course, able to be puppeteered, because the government will always kowtow to whoever has lent them the most money because they feel obligated to do so. So it's just a very, very sticky little trap that they set up, folks. And that's what these aid packages are all designed to do. They're not designed to help anybody. They're designed to basically lock the country into the corporate system. That's what the war on terror has been about. The war on terror has been going out and installing central banks in every country that didn't have one, because that locks these countries into the corporate model. Of course, the country gets destroyed by the armies that go in and wage war and destroy all their infrastructure. So then the country needs an aid package so that it can get back on its feet. So, of course, the country is now in debt to the central banking system that was installed during the war, and that's the way it goes. The infrastructure is gradually rebuilt as much as is needed in order to exploit the resources of the country, such as we've seen in Iraq. I mean, the confrontation in Iraq has been going for so long now, and so many people are still dying in Iraq, and nothing is being done to improve the infrastructure there. But the infrastructure around the oil refineries and everything that's needed to extract all the resources from the country, this is all looking pretty good. This has all been really taken care of, and all of this has been fixed, and all this is operating perfectly. But they just don't worry about the cities. They don't worry about the people. It's not about that. It's about exploiting the resources. That's what all of these wars are for, folks. Put the country in debt, set up your own base, exploit the resources, and send the people to hell. That's basically what the corporate model is all about. That's what the war on terror is all about, and that's what we're seeing all around the planet. And it's what we will soon see in Western countries as well, if people don't wake up to things and people don't wake up to what's actually going on. But I think, as I said, I think people will. I think people are waking up to what's going on. People are beginning to smell a rat, at least. It's a slow process, but they are beginning to realize that something doesn't smell right anymore. And they're beginning to take steps to find out what it is. And that's at least a good sign. At least it's a start, folks. But as I said, I don't think they'll be able to lock us down. I don't think, no matter what they do, they are ever going to be able to truly contain human consciousness. I just think we're too random. I think we will find a way out of almost any cage these powers that believe they can build for us. I really do. I don't think that we're going to go in that direction at all as much as they would like us to do so. I think there's a much, much brighter future on the horizon, as long as people participate. It really is up to the participation of the people in all that we do, folks. And all the problems that we see and all of the changes that are coming, none of these will happen without the participation of the people. I mean, the only way the system functions is because people participate in it. People believe it's real. But now people are beginning to see that there's a lot more to life. They just have to start participating in that, their life. That's what will change things, folks. But I think we're getting very close to the end of the show here, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now, folks. I'm going to have some more time off the show soon, because I've really got to get some work done on this film, and I've just got so much on my plate, it's very difficult to find time to get any of it done these days, folks. So bear with me if I do go off air for another month or two. But we'll just see what happens, folks. I'll play it by ear for now, but I've really got to get some work done. I'd love to get the film released, and I've got a lot of work left to do on it, and I'm simply not finding the time. But that is it for me now, folks. We're completely out of time. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure having your company on the show today, and I will look very much forward to speaking to you next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.